So we are in this current series on going back to the basics of what unites us. United we are, new life. We're looking at our purpose, our vision, and our mission. And just to start off with, today I want to let you know that this is my most hated day in the whole year. And the reason for that is there's always a story behind why you don't like something. And it's because spring forward, and years ago, and this is why we need to be united around something. Who all wants just one time, not to change all? Can we unite around that? I don't care which one, just pick one, right? Here's the reason why for me, why Cammie and I, we feel triggered every year at this time, is that our first interview process as youth pastors over, now it's 22 years ago, about this time, it was this time, 22 years ago, it was on the Sunday. Well, this is back, so kids know, we didn't have cell phones and social media and things that would tell you and alert you. You had to look at these things on paper called calendars, and it would say, oh, spring forward, change your clock. Well, we were young and in love and didn't necessarily know all those things, so we just got up our normal time and went to the church. We were an hour late. So this time of year, on this day, I never sleep well the night before because I'm always like, am I going to miss church the next day? Because that was my experience. So that's the reason why I do not like this day, but I wanted to open that up with that we can be united around things, even the time change, right? Can we just have one? No. The theme verse for this whole series has really been Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We all have a calling. Are we walking worthy of it? And this is part of that discipleship conversation we keep on underpinning within our church. Is that's helping us all walk worthy of the calling he's given us. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. I love how Paul doesn't just say, with love. He has to define it with lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, and bearing. Those are all hard work words, aren't they? It's not always easy to love one another, but he says, do it. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Focus on one another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we might get all unified around, we need to change the time to one during the year, but that's not necessarily what it's talking about here. It's unity of the Spirit. We're unified around what? The Spirit of God. We're unified around Christ. And within that, we can have diversity of opinion and calling as long as we're unified in the Spirit, not just the Spirit of unity. That's dangerous. That's where we all get our opinion. We all agree that the Dallas Cowboys are the greatest football team known. Thank you. See, I started to tee that one up, right? The point is, that's what we try to get in churches. Instead of saying, no, we want to be unified around core principles and around Jesus. And that's what we're going to fight for, and that's what we're going to stand on. And beyond that, we can have some diversity. We don't all have to look like Pastor Virgil or like John. We all can't have that cool beard. By the way, he's winning a competition right now on the best beard in the church. Come on, people, start signing up. Virgil's got a better beard than John. I don't know if that's true, but come on. But here's the point. We're going to focus on the main things. And that's what we're going to be about. And that's what we're going to keep on declaring to our community and to our state, to our country, and to our world. So this series so far, we have talked about our purpose, why we exist, loving God and loving people. The most important thing is that vertical relationship. Number one. If we do not have that right, you can love all the people and miss it. If you do not love God first. You can do great works, but not love God and you miss it. You can sing great songs. You can do amazing things for God while missing the key component. The most important thing is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you were in worship or you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and say, what is this feeling? What is this they're talking about? Please come talk to me. You're one of the elders, one of the people that was up here during the prayer time. We'd love to have that discussion with you and introduce you to the best thing that will ever happen in your life. His name's Jesus. If you're online, please reach out to us there as well because we believe in the gospel and how it can transform a life. Our vision, where we are going. Last week, Pastor John did a fantastic job talking and preaching on growing our relationships rooted in Christ. It's all about that depth of root system, growth, and then producing fruit. That's our first thing. Today, we're going to talk about going and sharing the love of Christ in our community. To go. Next week, Ray is going to be preaching about together as the church. What does together really look like? He's going to be digging into that. It is vital that we have a clear vision as a church, because without that, we will have division, a divided vision. And please look at anything in our world, whether it be church or a family or a business. When you have division, you have divided vision. What's the goal? What's the purpose? So that's why we want to go back to the basics and solidify so we can move forward with health in our next season as we really make Jesus famous in our community. Because without that, we could fall into division, even though we're trying to do good things. Speaking of that, last week John spoke, and I didn't know quite how to preface this, because sometimes we say, oh, someone else is going to speak, no one shows up. So we're like, we're not going to tell people what's going on, so people will still show up. But I heard this last week, oh, Virgil, how are you doing? You know, did you need a break? So you guys know, I love to preach. I didn't need a break last week. John was up here led by the Lord. So moving forward, we are going to actually be incorporating in a teaching team model into the pulpit. All right. I will be the primary teacher, but there's going to be others up here, and they're not going to be up here just because Virgil needed a break or just because Virgil's on vacation, but they're going to be up here because we're praying. I'm praying, saying, Lord, who would you have speak this message that has the gifting and qualification and developing in their gift mix for, and it's going to help us all fulfill what God's called New Life to do, because we need each other. It can't just be based around Virgil. It's got to be us together. So there's going to be other people up here sharing. So John was up here by design from the Lord, not by design from Virgil. Because who owns this pulpit? It's not Virgil's pulpit. It's the Lord's. There's others. Ray is up here because when I went, the Lord said, this is a message for Ray to share. There are others in our body that will be up here, that will be in that teaching team conversation. So the reason why I'm excited about that is I need to receive from you as well. It's a really dangerous thing, and this is going to maybe tweak a few people. It's dangerous if a senior pastor cannot set and receive from people in his church, because he is not setting an example for those in his church. I need to be here to receive as well from some of you. And that's a good thing. It's health for the body. So be assured that when people do speak, it's not going to be just random, chaotic moments. There is a process. There is encouragement. There is discipleship. There's going back and forth. But again, that helps us all get better. That helps us all live out what God's called us to do and be. So this is a celebratory thing and an encouraging thing, because most of you have told me, we really liked having some different people speak at times. That's good. That's healthy. Because the dangerous part is when we get one person that we like more than anyone else, and we won't listen to anyone other than them, we have danger of having hero worship occur. There's only one person that's bestowed upon it. His name is Jesus Christ. So it's good to have multiple people. You can have your favorites, that's okay. But if you're not able to listen to anyone else, that's dangerous. So go share the love of Christ in our community and beyond. So there's a few points I want to pull out of this conversation and into this conversation. One is live missional. We need to develop an intentional mindset as a church and as individuals. Everywhere we go, we are on mission for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, I'm actually going to open up my Bible. I bring this up every week. So, Lord, I actually was watching a video, and a guy said, you know, if you have your Bible up there, you probably should open it up every once in a while and show by example that you read it. I do read the Bible, but sometimes we can just go off of the screens and notes. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians, and this is kind of the key verse for this message. And let's look at chapter 5, verse 18, as I'm finding it. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, this is the verse that we need to really highlight today. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are God's ambassadors to this world to share the love of Jesus Christ. and go share that love to those around us. Notice that he has given us, he is partnering with us, he is asking us to go for him. That it's not us doing it, it's on Christ's behalf. That Christ is the one who is in us. It's not us who are righteous in ourselves, it's his righteousness working in and through us. We have to remember that. Sometimes we can get discouraged and downtrodden because, man, it's just not working. And if that's happening, if you're feeling like, man, I just feel worn out, ask yourself this question first. Are you trying to do it in your own strength or in Christ's strength in you? Because in your own strength, you will fail. In Christ's strength, you will have days that you're tired, but God will bring people alongside you, kind of like what we just did for me in my life. He will bring people alongside you to encourage you. Even today, I had two text messages from people from my previous church saying, we're praying for you today. Just, you're on our heart. Hope everything's going well. We love you. Not that today was a hard day, but that's what happens when you're laboring underneath the anointing of the Lord, not under your own abilities and your own strength. So God is inviting us to partner with him to bring people into his kingdom. So let's think about this. We're called to be a bridge. I like illustrations and analogies. So we are called to be a bridge for people to walk upon to draw closer to Christ. So who are you building a bridge to for Christ? Because an ambassador goes to another country and he builds a bridge of relationship so people can experience a different culture, a different mindset, a different way of doing things. Kind of sounds like being salt and light in our world, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like we're called to be kingdom living people in a dark world, the kingdom of light in this dark world. Build a bridge to those around you. So who are you building a bridge to in your life? The song kept on going through in my mind. It's not a sanctified song by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a song. I grew up in Western Nebraska, and one of the things with Western Nebraska, you have two radio stations. NPR, that's a lot of fun, and country. Those are your two choices. So I grew up listening to a lot of country. And have you ever heard of the Judds back in the early 90s, late 80s? So the Judds, they had, I would think it's probably one of their most famous songs. And it was Love Can Build a Bridge. And this song kept on going through my mind as I was preparing for this message. And it's the chorus goes, love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? And those of you who know the song, you're humming it along with me. And the point is, so for some people in your life, don't you think it's time? Stop waiting. God's saying, don't you think it's time to start to build that bridge of love, to draw them not to liking you more. You can't get anyone to love Jesus, go to heaven by how much they like you. Building the bridge that they travel upon to get closer to Christ because they're experiencing the life of Christ in you, then they will ask the question, naturally, why are you different? Why is it when everything's going nuts around you, you have peace? Why is it that you show up on Spring Forward to church and you could go to lunch earlier? Why would you do these things? And when they ask the why question, you can follow up with the who question. The who is Jesus. Let me introduce you to him. That's building a bridge. So when we go, we share and share the love of Christ, we are living out the great commission. I've heard it said before, the great co-mission with Christ. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We're not called to make converts, little cookie-cutter Christians. We're called to make disciples, uniquely gifted and called by God, living out their walk that's worthy of the Lord, to come alongside and encourage. We do want to call out, it says, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them. So in a few weeks, we are going to have another baptism service. We love those around here because it's celebrating new birth. By the way, this message is go, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with those around you. Your first thing when you're a Christian, a lot of times, your first go is baptism. What do I mean by that? It's a public declaration of an inward work, telling people you're changed. So if you're interested in being baptized, please come talk to one of the pastors, talk to Pastor John or Children Pastor Charity, but please talk to one of us. We would love to talk with you about being baptized here in the next few weeks and have that discussion, because it's a time to celebrate what God is doing. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We need to preach with our actions, our attitudes, and our words. So go and make disciples, not just converts. A disciple is a pupil, learner, and follower. Few weeks, we're going to dig into what a disciple is and how we're called a disciple in a deeper way. But today we're focusing on the go. Go and share the love of Jesus. You don't go in your own power. You go under the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who empowers us to go be that witness, to testify, to tell the story. Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth," or ends of the earth, depending on what version you're in. The point here is, everywhere you go, be a witness of the Lord, to testify of what he's done. Again, you don't do it under your own power. You do it under the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Live looking for opportunities to share the love of Christ with others. Have you ever heard of divine appointments? Have you heard of that before? Are you looking for them? Earlier today, when I was driving into Ropes and Ranch, the other campus we have, Kami was like, "Look at that huge pile of mulch. There's our mountain," because we live on Mountain View. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was focused and I was praying and I was thinking about the service. I look off to the side. There is this huge, huge pile of mulch. Why do I share that? How often is it we're so focused on what we're doing, God's like, "Hey, here's someone over here. This is a divine appointment." But we're so focused on our to-do list, our shopping, what we would desire, what we want, we lose sight of what God might be doing in and around us. Are we looking for those opportunities? Are we saying, "God, show me those opportunities today"? Or do we need to have someone jab us in the side like my wife did and say, "Wake up, there is a pile of mulch there, husband"? He will do that at times, but we need to be actively looking for those opportunities. Colossians 4:5-6, and your notes it puts 56. There are not 56 verses in Colossians 4, so that was a typo. But Colossians 4:5-6. "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Walk in wisdom. Again, how you live your life. Are you walking in wisdom? People are watching. They're discovering Christ in your life. They're saying there's something different. So we walk, we redeem our time, use it wisely. The only thing you cannot get back in life, you can get money back, you get friends back, you get everything back, but one thing you cannot get back is time. Once spent, it's gone. So how do we use our time for God's glory? It says, then use your speech. Let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So be graceful with people, but always have this mentality when you're having a conversation. Where's Christ in this conversation? That's the salt. Don't make an assault on the person with Jesus, the whole turn or burn conversation. But where are you bringing Christ into your conversation with believers and non-believers? That's the salt. That's going to help them ask those questions. They're going to come closer and say, "Help me understand why you're the way you are," and you can bring Jesus to it. Use your words and actions. We need both in our life. Those two synergizing together. This is not just theoretical. So often we'll be in a message talking about go. Oh, we're all about go. Go is a great idea. I want to go tell people about Jesus. But once we hit the back doors, we forget about it. This is not theoretical. This is what we must apply in our lives. If we are truly transformed, I witness that we can sing it up on the screen, but when we go out into our world, do we actually do those things? We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We are his flesh walking around. Not in that we are Christ, but he's working in and through us to show the world his love. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other versions it will put there, let us not merely or only love in word and tongue. We need both. We need to speak it. We need to live it, because if we do not do both those things together, what happens is called being a hypocrite. We say one thing and we do another. You heard, talk is cheap, but actions speak. Both need to come together. Live a life in such a way that people ask you the question and then you speak. Sometimes we need to live it first before we say it. I've said it many times before when I was a youth pastor, people love wearing Christian t-shirts. I had a huge Christian t-shirt collection. I went to a Christian boarding school, so you could wear it, whereas it was Christian. I didn't know the verses on the shirt. I lived a life very contrary to the gospel, but I wore the Christian t-shirt. For some of us, leave the t-shirt at home and just live it. Just live it. That's what the Lord is asking. If you like Christian t-shirts, that's fine. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we think that's all we need to do is just wear. It was called witness wear. Seriously, that's what it was called. And that was how you witnessed to people. I'm wearing this shirt and it has Romans 10:14 on the back of it, but you couldn't quote it. But I'm witnessing for Jesus. I'm wearing this t-shirt. But then you're cussing somebody out. You're shaking your fist while you're driving. I'm talking about me here. I'm not talking about you. This is how I lived. You can take up with the Lord on that conviction. Get back on topic, Virgil. So the greatest way that we can share Christ with other people is allowing them to read us, to experience our lives lived out loud. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. You are our epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. We are a living epistle, a living letter that people are reading. So when people are around you, what are they reading? When I'm around people, are they reading Christ in my life, or are they reading all Virgil all the time? You can ask Cammy. There's been times where it's been Virgil all the time, and then she needs to teach me a few things. Meaning, honey, I love you, but you need to stop. So if you have Christ, you have a story to tell. The devil loves to try to shame you out of telling it. We are called to live unashamed for the glory of God in our lives. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. The world will try to make us ashamed of the gospel, get us to shut up and stop living our lives that way, try to be more tolerant. Jesus wasn't tolerant. He brought love. Why? Because love will say there's a better hope and a better future for you, and I'm going to speak the truth in love to you. Tolerance says, do what you do. Be you. Do your life now. Jesus never did that with anybody. He came and said, there's freedom in me. There's hope in me. There's peace in me. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's not tolerant in our world. They'll say, well, that's being a bigot. That's being a jerk. No, we are on mission for the gospel. Not on mission to be liked by Facebook. Not on mission to be liked by all our neighbors. We're on mission to love our neighbors. We're on mission to love our coworkers. We're on mission to love our family. Do you see where we can get stuff offset and start feeling ashamed? We were called to not be ashamed because it's about the gospel, because it's the power of salvation. 1 Peter 4:10-11. We all have gifts and callings. We all don't have the same gift. This goes back to we are unified in Christ. We need each other. We're deficient by design. You have gifts I don't have. I have gifts you don't have. But when we come together, we have all the gifts. We are whole in Christ. That's that together conversation. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice it's not your gift, it's his bestowed in you that you are stewarding. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Who's glorified? Jesus Christ. Who supplies the ability? God. Notice you're just walking with him, being obedient. to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So because of Jesus, we can love with our words and our works, all for his glory, and help the world around us know Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. Not arrogance, not pride, but boldness, because we have hope. If we truly have the hope of Christ in us, then we're going to be bold with our speech, not to dominate people, but to truly share the love of Christ with them. If we've been transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then why would we not want to share that with other people? Led by the Lord, because he knows where that person's at. Because sometimes they need to just be around your life a little bit longer before you start talking. Be led when you start speaking with boldness. Because if you just go out being bold, you're going to start hurting people. Be led by the Spirit in all these things. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it underneath a basket, but put it on a lampstand and it gives light to the entire house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We quote this verse a lot here at New Life. The point is, we do good works and people see that and they glorify God in heaven. Remember the old song? This little light of mine, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Some of us need to go back to VBS. I'm trying. Hide underneath the bushel, oh no. The point is we let our light shine. Do not be ashamed of what the world is saying. Be focused on what, it goes back to the first thing, be focused on loving God and allow him to guide you how to love those around you, not defined by them. Live sent. So who has the Lord called you to go share the love of Christ with specifically? So we have divine appointments that we're looking around for. But I believe most of us have divine assignments as well. Who is that person that you're in their life for such a time as this to bring the gospel? Not just a random pile of mulch on the side or someone that you just meet. That's good. But who is that person that you are called by God to intentionally disciple and encourage and bless? Who's your assignment? It might be a whole people group. That's why missionaries go with different countries. They have a whole people group. But I believe we all have at least one name. If you're a believer in Christ, we all have at least one name that I think God has sent us on assignment for. And that can change over the years. But we all have at least one this morning. See, God is still looking for people to help with the harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. He said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We tend to always think, I heard this the other day, we think, well, is the harvest here yet? It is. Look around our world. Who's asking for hope? Who's asking for love? Who's asking for peace? Watch the news, whatever station you want, and they're asking that question. What's the future? Do I have value? Do I have purpose? Do I matter? What's my identity? The harvest is there, but the laborers are few. Will you go for him? Will you be one of those laborers sent to your field? So where's your field of harvest? Is it your workplace? Is it your home? Young people, is it your school? Is it your neighborhood? This is a golf course. Yeah, you can golf for Jesus. It's okay. This is a store down the street. Here's a big one. Social media. People live there all the time. Are you leveraging your influence for the gospel? As easy as what I mentioned earlier, sharing your church services, sharing something going on, sharing a Bible verse, not just the good stuff, but actually sharing life with people. In a smart way. You can invite people to church. You can ask to pray with people. You can just intentionally care. Really take the time to be present with that person. How are you doing today? And pause. And let them answer. And they just say good. I encourage you to say, what does good mean? When they say busy, ask a deeper question. What does busy mean? Because those are really just easy answers. But to truly go, we've got to love, and love goes deep. Not just wide. The only thing that we will take to heaven with us are the souls that we impacted for the kingdom. It's not your retirement plan. It's not your truck. It's not our beards, John. They might show up. I'm not sure. The souls you impact for the kingdom of God. That's why go is so important. So who will be in heaven because you are willing to go and live sent? That's a mean question. No, it's not. It's a real question. It's a real question. So here's a few live sent stories of some people that grabbed a hold of this. So Moravian missionaries with Count Zinzendorf. There's a cool name for you, Zinzendorf. That's the only reason why I can remember it. So Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians started to pioneer the modern missionary movement back in the 1700s. And what was crazy about these guys, not crazy, but they were so bold and ready to share Jesus with people who did not have hope. You know what they did? A few of them sold themselves into slavery to work on plantations in the West Indies so they could minister Jesus to the slaves. They sold, willingly sold themselves for Jesus. Wow. St. Patrick's Day is coming up shortly. Do you know about St. Patrick? We know about Shamrock Shakes at McDonald's, I'm sure, but do we know about his story? In brief, he was kidnapped as a teenager, sold into slavery to Ireland. He escapes, goes back, becomes a priest. You know where he goes back to be a missionary and a priest? Ireland. Those who held him in captivity and abused him, God sends him back to bring life. That's the gospel. Am I saying you have to do that? No, I'm just saying these are people who said, I'm going to live sent and go where God leads me. David Livingston was part of the beginning of some of the large missionary movements. And I'm not going to read his whole entire story this morning, but I'm just going to hit a few high points. So about 150 years ago, he was at a church service. He was up in the balcony taking care of the organ. He was running the bellows so the organ would play. So they had to pump air into old style organs. They're not cool like these up here that are electric. They actually had to do work for their music. Sorry, you work too. Sorry. But that was his job. And there was a missionary called, his name was Robert Moffat. He was serving in Africa. He returned to Scotland to try and enlist more missionaries. And it was a cold, rainy night when he went to this church. And to his dismay, only people in the service that night were women. And that's not a problem, but back in those days, women didn't go alone to the mission field. And so as there were no prospective missionaries there, he decided to change his message. Instead, he preached about the need for the Lord of the harvest to be send forth more laborers. He made this statement, "Every morning when I get up and look at the horizon, I see the smoke from 1,000 villages where the name of Christ has never been heard." So Robert Moffat didn't know David Livingston was up in the balcony. And when he heard that, David Livingston, when he heard that, he said, send me, I'll go. And one of the tellings says that Robert told him, go become a medical doctor. So when you go to the mission field, you're not only just caring for their souls, but you're able to care for their bodies. Because guess what? Even Jesus modeled this. He cared for their physical needs. We're hungry, fed them fish. So they would hear. So he goes, he becomes a physician. Medical doctor, and he goes to Africa. He did not just stay in South Africa, but he explored the intercontinent. He was a great missionary and a great explorer. He was the first white man to cross the continent from east to west, discovering Victoria Falls in his travels. He covered over 29,000 miles and mapped over 1 million square miles of previously uncharted territory. So not only was he a missionary and a doctor, he was an amazing explorer. He was on an adventure with Jesus. So when he first began his missionary ministry in Africa, some of the native tribes opposed him. One tribe said they were going to kill him and everyone in his party. One afternoon, as they were setting up camp, word reached Livingston that these warriors had been tracking them all day and were outside the camp and were going to attack and kill everyone when it got dark. It goes on that people who've read his journal entries can tell about the angst in his heart, saying, everything, my plans and hopes are going to be dashed. But as he processed with the Lord through prayer, it changed to, no, God is with me. And it's about the Lord. He's going to walk this out with me. I'm paraphrasing here. And they can tell when they look at his handwriting, it goes from handwriting of a fearful man to a man that is bold for Jesus, saying, he holds my soul. They didn't attack that night. And later the tribe was brought to faith in Christ. Livingston asked the chief of the tribe, do you remember the night you were tracking my party? Yes, the chief replied. We had heard rumors that you were going to attack us, said Livingston. That's right, the chief said. We were ready to attack the camp that night and kill you and everyone else. So why didn't you attack? Livingston asked. The chief said, when we got close to the camp, we looked and saw 39 warriors surrounding your camp with swords in their hands. David Livingston was baffled. They hadn't had any guards that night or warriors. Later, when he was on leave in Scotland, he shared the story at a church that was supporting him, partnering with him for his missionary journey. A man came up to him afterwards with his prayer journal and said, look what I wrote down on this day, January 14, 1856. Was that the night? Livingston said, yes, that was the night. And the man said, that night a group of men came to pray for you. And they prayed for your protection. I wrote it down. There were 39 men praying that night for you. You don't always have to go to a foreign land to make an impact. You partner with what God's doing and has called you to. Ebenezer and Strasburger are names that you'll see in no history book, unless maybe you're in Western Nebraska and you're looking at who owns ranches. They came to the Sandhills back in, right after, during the 40s, I believe. And they were Christians and they said, hey, how are we going to make an impact for Christ in these Sandhills? It's pretty sparse. And they had a neighbor and their last name was Sandoz and they had a daughter named Ruthie. And they said, can we take her to Sunday school? Can we take her to youth camp? And they did. And Ruthie came to know Jesus and was saved. And she was the first domino in a whole family to start serving the Lord. That was my great, great aunt and that family that they asked if they could take the daughter. That was my great grandparents. I'm here today because of people like Evan Allen Strasburger. Do you see the impact for eternity? Your name might not be in a history book, but it will be written in the annals of heaven, who you impacted and how you impacted them. Who is that person that you're assigned to care for? For them, it was Ruthie. For you, it's someone else. But have you even asked that question? People's eternal homes were impacted by these individuals in obedience to go share the love of Christ. So the Lord is still asking to see who will go for him, who is willing to share the love, his peace, his grace, and his truth with their world. Isaiah 6:8, I think God still is asking this in heaven. I also heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then I said, this is Isaiah, here I am, send me. Will we be that bold as a church? I know the elder team says, here we are, send us. But you as an individual, you have to make that declaration. Here I am, send me. Most likely it won't be to a different country, but what neighbor, what family member and others in your life are you called to go to? It might be to start praying intentionally, encouraging those who are sent to dark places, like those men did for David Livingston. Remember, we are better together than apart. And remember as we go back, and have a lot of remembers, but you got to remember these things, people. Going back to the basics. God is the one who makes you able. You don't have to try to do it on your own and your own abilities. He's the one who makes you sufficient, qualified, and able to live sent and go share the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. I pray these verses over myself every Sunday I preach. And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient or able of ourselves to think anything of us being from ourselves, but our sufficiency, our ability, our qualification is from God, who also made us sufficient, qualified, and able as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit in you is the one who makes you sufficient, makes you qualifying, and makes you able. Yield to Him. So how will you answer the call to go share Christ's love with others today? He is asking it. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. How will you answer? Don't just be willing, actually do something about it. We're not talking about having just good intentions. It's time to do something, church. Go to your knees, pray, write some names down, dream with God. Start getting discipled so you can be empowered fully into what you're called to do. So we can go to the marginalized, the broken, the hopeless, the least of these, and the ones that look all put together, that are dying on the inside. Those who need a Savior, that is going for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. I pray that though this message maybe was kind of in our face, I know it's in my face. I mean, am I really going for you? But Lord, let's really hear your word and hear your Spirit working in and through us saying, be on assignments for me. Look for those moments that I'm asking you to be my hands and feet. Lord, I pray for every person who knows you in this room today and listening online, that you'll start to put that name on their hearts that they are assigned to pray for, to live life around, and to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to. Help them know that it's not them doing it, but Christ in them, the hope of glory. Lord, we thank you so much for New Life Church. We thank you that we are a body that believes in going and truly loving, not just in lip service, but in action and deed and attitude and with words. Lord, we pray for Mark, our overseer, Lord. We thank you so much for him being with us today and praying for us and being with us during this past season and moving forward into our next, and able to celebrate and encourage and advise as we are going to be that city on a hill in Denton County, bright and shining for your glory, Lord. God, we give you all the honor, the glory, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.